Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
We welcome you to our worship service this morning. It's a delight to be here. We have a lot of things to go over, so I'm going to quickly do the announcements and get them out of the way so that we can share prayer requests. But we are grateful that you are here. Several announcements. This coming Wednesday begins Lent, our Lenten season, and we have our Ash Wednesday service here at 7 p.m., and therefore we will not have men's and women's groups this coming week. So Ash Wednesday, 7 o'clock this Wednesday. Then this coming Sunday, of course, will be the first Sunday of Lent. We have just a lot of great things going on that day. Webb Griffin will be preaching the sermon, and we're looking forward to that. And he is given an allowance because one of the difficulties for young preachers that start preaching is we have this fear we're going to run out of things to say. So subsequently, we prepare way too long. So Webb knows he may go long, so he said, you're free to bring a cooler or bring snacks or whatever you need to endure it. But we're looking forward to it. Because, you know, if you look in the Old and New Testament, the Lord often would give a message to one of his people. This is the house for hearing those messages. So we're looking forward to that. We're also going to have a fellowship meal afterwards. There is a sign-up sheet. There's one on the front row. And Judy, could you grab the one off this front row? Could you put your name, go ahead and circulate it now. Put your name, put the food item you plan to bring. We will have about 10 or 12 people that have been invited that don't normally come, so we want to make sure that we have plenty of food for everyone that comes for that day and our time of fellowship afterwards. Also, Webb has some beef that is frozen. How many?
I want to say it's like 15 or 16 individual packages, 1 pound packages in the cooler.
Okay. And if you would like to take one for the purpose of making a meal for this coming week, I mean, I guess it's with you and your conscience whether you take it home and invite all the family over. But it's intended for you to take home and use it for the coming week as we have a fellowship meal. Also, the one other thing I'd like to say is that the surveys are coming in where the board wanted to do a deep listening of the congregation and your thoughts and desires of those that didn't go out to the email newsletter crowd. It's for those that regularly attend our worship service, and we do want to hear from each one of you. So, and of course, the board will present summaries of that back to you. Any other announcements or items of anything I've mentioned that needs to be shared this morning? Yes, sir. Oh, yes, ma'am.
On the sign-up sheet, do we bring anything on main dishes, side, and desserts, or the side desserts, or what?
It's total potluck.
Okay.
So put what you want to bring, and the church will adjust around it. Carolyn, anything to? Yeah, it's total potluck. And you're not held to it, too, if you decide to change your mind. We just want to get an idea of how much the church needs to get to buttress. Any other thoughts or comments? All right, prayer requests and praises. I want to begin with two praises. It is wonderful to see all of you here. It's especially good to see those that we haven't seen for a while. So, Gwen, it is really good to have you back here. We are glad you're back. And Carol,
yes.
Mom, it's good to have you home. She's been in a far country, so it's good to have her back. And we're just grateful to see all of you. Now we will share any other joys and concerns you have. Two items I'd like to pick up and lift for prayer is let's keep Tom Langford and his true companion, Bella, in prayer. Bella probably or may not make it through the weekend, and if so, she is scheduled to be put down tomorrow. So this is just really difficult for Tom in so many ways. So went out yesterday and had prayer with him and saw Bella. It's just a sad thing. So just keep Tom and Bella in your prayers. Also, Glenn Harvey would like all of you to continue to keep him in prayer. Where they felt that they were quite successful, and I guess they were, 2 or 3 months ago in doing what they needed to do. Sometimes things don't stay the way they are. And so he needs to have another procedure. He'll be having that on March the 3rd. So let's keep Glenn Harvey and Ruth in our prayers. Any other prayer requests or praise items any of you might have? Yes, Ann?
Andy texted me this morning, and he was just asking for prayer for the people in Moldova. He's fine. He actually went to Greece for the weekend, but there are supposed to be pro-Russian protests in the capital. And I don't know if you've been following the news, but they think they're actually, like, it's not Moldovan. It's people that Russia has brought into the country to stir up.
So, if you didn't hear Ann, we want to keep Andy in prayer and the whole situation in Moldova, and just for peace in that land and safety and protection. Andy is saying that the Lord is blessing and using his ministry there, so we're grateful for that. So, let's keep Andy in prayer, and let's keep Ann in prayer. She's man or woman in the force here alone. So, and if there's anything you need, Ann, you've got a church family to reach out to. And we'll keep all in prayer. Any other items? Mom?
Marion Mance. She's 93 in Colorado. And she broke her leg, and it's just gone down to me.
Let's keep Marion Mance, Carol's aunt, in your prayers as she's declining. Larry?
My daughter Lisa lost one of her beloved pets this week. She's pretty devastated.
Let's keep Lisa and Steve in our prayers. What was the pet's name?
Oreo.
Oreo. Mm-hmm. All right. We certainly will. Carrie.
If we can keep Taylor's father, Joe Harlow, in our prayers. He lost his brother Wednesday. So if we just keep the whole Harlow family in the prayers. His name was Gary Harlow. And then also I have a coworker that lost her father on Thursday, King Hardy. Please keep them, Lori, and hold their way in prayer.
So we'll keep Joe Harlow as he lost his brother Gary, and we'll keep the Canode family in prayer as Dennis passed away this week. And we celebrate with Webb and Carrie. Their 12th wedding anniversary of yesterday. Congratulations. Yes, sir, David.
Could you hold my wife in prayer? She had a manipulation on Thursday to get the knee moving better.
Let's keep B in our prayers as she has a manipulation on Thursday. We'll keep both of them in our prayers. Anyone else? I see a bunch. David?
Helen, as always.
Let's keep Helen in our prayers. Thank you. Sarah?
Unspoken.
Let's keep Sarah with an unspoken in our prayers. B.
Thank you for praying for both our friends that we held up a couple weeks ago, Brian with a brain tumor and Phil with two strokes. They're both recovering well. That's amazing what's happening.
Amen.
Praise.
So let's continue to keep the Gardner's friends Brian and Phil in our prayers. Thank you. Any others? All right. Miss
Gwen.
Oh, Gwen, I'm sorry.
My other grandmother's father passed away, so she's grieving and having a
grandfather. So it'd be your great grandfather?
Brenda's father.
Brenda's, okay. So Brenda's father passed away. Let's keep them in our prayers. Thank you. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we come to you bringing what looks like a list, but to you, it's not a list of multiple names. Each one is a precious child that you created and sent Christ to ransom. So we know that these are just not a number or a long list or a perfunctory exercise that we do, but this is truly sharing each other's burdens, celebrating together with each other's victories, and looking to you as the source of all good. We give you praise for those good things in our lives. We thank you for those that have returned safely to us and pray that you'll bless them. We pray your protection on Andy and others as they're traveling, but in particular, the situation in Moldova. We just pray that you'll put a hedge of protection around him and bless Andy and bless Ann in this time of travel. We thank you for your watch care over all of those that we care about. And we lift these that have been mentioned. We pray that you would be with Bea as she has her manipulation on Thursday. And we just pray that it will go well and that you will help it to be as pain-free as possible, but productive and effective in accomplishing what needs to be done. We pray that you would lift up David as he seeks and is such a good caregiver to be. Just bless him, we pray. We pray that you would be with Helen and just help her in the health and healing work in her. We pray the same thing for Glenn. We pray that you would be with this procedure that's coming up in March, that it will be effective. Encourage Glenn, we pray, and Ruth. We pray that you would encourage Tom Langford as he is watching truly a companion, one that has just been by his side for many years. And we just pray that you'll strengthen Tom. We thank you for his friends and family that support him, and we just pray that your spirit would lift him up and make Bella's transition peaceful. We pray that you'd also be with Lisa and Steve as they have lost Oreo, and we just pray that you'll comfort those of us who have pets, know that truly they are all creatures of our loving Father, great and small, and we just pray that you'd be with them as well. We pray that you would be with Brenda as she has lost her father. We just pray that you'll bless her and her family. We pray that you would be with the Harlow family and the loss of Gary. We pray that you'd be with the Canode family and the loss of Dennis. We just pray that you would be with those that we know that need a healing touch of Marion. And thank you for Brian and Phil, and just continue to work with them. We pray that you would be with Sarah and her unspoken. And Lord, we pray that you would attend in loving wisdom to the person or situation we lift up right now. We thank you that you are such a good God. And when life is difficult, when life is unfair, when life seems full of stress, we look to you, the source of all good, and we trust you, and we declare that because you are God, all is well, and we pray in your holy name. Amen. If you'll look with me to the front, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, We lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the Holy Spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use a portion of Psalm 2 to call each to worship. Then we'll stand and open with just a wonderful hymn. 47, Fairest Lord Jesus. I myself have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion.
Let me announce to the Creator in your world. He said to me, you are my son. This day I have found you.
Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession.
You shall crush them with an iron rod, and shatter them like a piece of pottery.
And now, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth.
Submit to the Lord with fear, and with trembling bow before him.
Lest he be angry and you perish, for his wrath is quickly kindled.
Thank you. 24, verses 8 through 18. Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness, and he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Ur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's second reading is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven. And we were with him on the holy mountain, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Amen. It seems to me that in our world, and maybe it's just me, but it seems that we hear too much. It seems that there's too much chatter. Maybe it's just me. I mean, you probably don't know this about me, or maybe you do, but because you always hear me talk, I mean, it would be somewhat non-productive and a long hour if a pastor didn't speak. So you come, you hear me preach, or you come and you hear me teach. So you're always hearing me talk. But the truth of the matter is, if you really know me, and many of you do, I don't really like to talk. I can drive long hours and not have conversation. I'm fine. In fact, it seems to me that the older I get, the more it irritates me and drives me insane when people talk too much. It may be a prophecy that a couple years before I was born, Joe Jones sang that wonderful song, "You Talk Too Much, You Worry Me to Death." It's chatter. Wednesday, I got very irritated and almost insane. My dinner guest may have been able to tell it. I was with my dear wife, and I just picked up my mother, and it was a wonderful day and much to celebrate, and Mom wanted to celebrate by taking us to dinner at Perky's. And the food was wonderful. And the company was grand. And I thought I was going to go berserk because everyone was talking and talking too loud and the chatter and the multiple voices. Don't get me started on how I react when I'm on the telephone and someone starts talking to me. I mean, I don't like multiple voices. All right. What does this have to do with anything? My premise is quite simple on this Transfiguration Sunday. The more voices you choose to listen to, the less peace and security you will have. The more voices you choose to listen to, the less peace and security you will have. Peter's a great example. Let me state, in interpreting the Bible, it's always helpful if you're reading a book written by someone like Peter, it's instructive to keep in mind who Peter was. They don't write in vacuums. You have to understand that. And so if you look at Peter, Peter is a great example. Throughout Jesus' ministry, Peter is known as the impetuous one, the one that talked all the time. The one that talked even before he thought. The one that talked when he didn't know what to say. That old adage of ready, fire, aim was what Peter did. He just was all over the place. He reminds me in many ways to one of the most lovable but irritating characters on television, and that's Barney Fife. He talks all the time. He talks incessantly. And he's nervous, and he's uptight, and he's without peace. See, Peter was impulsive. You know, in Mark's version of the Transfiguration, which we read, it sums up Peter wonderful prophetically at the Transfiguration in verse 6 of chapter 9 of Mark, it says, Peter did not know what to say, but he went on to talk anyway. You know people that do that? They don't know what they're talking. They just talk anyway. It keeps them afloat. And Peter was like that. And I think today's world is impetuous like Peter. We don't know what to say, but it doesn't keep us from trying to talk, does it? We've got politicians who talk and talk and talk. We have commentators on the politicians who talk. We have news reporters that don't report. They just talk. We have advertisements. We have Facebook. You ever thought about what Facebook has done to our society? It used to be people would write in diaries and get really upset if anyone read what their private thoughts were. Now they publicize and talk their private thoughts for all the world to hear, and they get upset if you don't read it and comment on it. It's a crazy world we live in. Now, if you go back, I find this quite interesting. I blame it on one fellow in a popular way, and I think I can build the case on this why our society changed and became too talkative and not very peaceful. He was sort of an irritating TV personality named Phil Donahue. Do you remember him? It was at the same time Phil Donahue had his program, there was another guy that I just really liked named William F. Buckley. And William F. Buckley would take a topic, and what William F. Buckley would do is he would bring in an expert who knew something about the topic, and he let that person speak, and he would ask appropriate questions. But do you remember what Phil Donahue would do? He wouldn't have an expert. He would go to just any old person in the crowd with his mic, asking them to talk. And what do they think about it? Now we have politicians and athletes and people talking about topics. And I've talked enough about how much we talk. So let's get back to the passage. But my premise stands. When we choose to listen to multiple voices, we restrict our peace and our security. But I have an antidote. Listen to only one. Listen to only one. And you say, well, that's fine, but whom? Well, I have a suggestion. Listen to God. And what does God say in our passage today? The language is quite parallel to what we see at Jesus' baptism. At Jesus' baptism, we hear a voice from heaven, the Father, and we see the Holy Spirit descending, and what the voice of the Father says at his baptism is, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. At this transfiguration, we hear the exact same thing, but he adds something. Did you notice that when Jen was reading it? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. See, when we listen to Christ, we can ignore all the cleverly devised myths that Peter goes on later to talk about. See, he's learned something. Our attitude as believers who listen to Christ should be to say to the world, we're not deaf, we're just ignoring you. If you're living today taking your marching orders from every other voice, you have no peace or security. Peace and security comes from listening to one voice, listening to him. But even here in this passage in Matthew 17, we see Peter's impetuous. And what he says is, this is really exciting. Let's make three tents to honor Moses, the law, and Elijah, the prophets, and of course, Jesus. But by the time we get to 2 Peter, and what Judy read for us, he didn't mention Moses and Elijah at all, did he? He understood by then that it wasn't three tents we need, it wasn't three authorities that we need, but there's only one. And that's why in the Transfiguration passage, when they looked up, there was only one standing. There's only one voice we need to listen to, and that's Jesus Christ. And because of that, we see that Peter matured between the transfiguration and the writing of 2 Peter. Why did he learn? I'm going to suggest to you that he learned during that period of about 30 years between the transfiguration and the writing of 2 Peter. He learned what worked in life and what didn't work. He learned, as hopefully we do, that we need to speak less and listen more. He learned that being impetuous leaves you cold and lonely at the fire of rejection as he betrayed Jesus Christ. But he also learned that Jesus Christ welcomed him back in restoration as he welcomed him back. He had seen the resurrected Christ and he had received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and so have all of you. You've seen the resurrected Christ. You've been welcomed into his love, and you've learned in life that always speaking and listening indiscriminately destroys our peace. So we need to do what he did, and that's just listen with one voice, with peace and security and with joy. So I have another suggestion as I close. We listen to him, and we listen to him alone. If we look at the 2 Peter in your insert, 2 Peter talks about, and this is so incredible, Peter, who was at the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, who had seen Jesus Christ in his transfigured and resurrected glory, says, we've got something even more fully confirmed. We've got something, if you'll allow me to say, even better. We have his word. We have his word. The interesting word there in verse 19 for fully confirmed is the Greek word debaos, and it's only used 8 times. And this may seem unique. I don't normally just do this, but I thought the scripture says it better than I can. So I'd like to close by just reading the 8 verses that this word is mentioned and allow the Spirit to drive home the word. So I would ask us all to give ear to this. And as the Father told us at the Transfiguration, let us ignore all else and listen to Jesus, for in that we are established and in that we have peace and security. Listen to these. And I will emphasize the same word because it's used 8 different times, but it all speaks to what we have when we listen only to Christ. In Romans 4:16, that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all of us his offspring. 2 Corinthians 1:7, our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Hebrews 2:2, for since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable. Hebrews 3:14, for we have come to share in Christ if we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Hebrews 6:19, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. Hebrews 9:17, for our will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. 2 Peter 1:10, therefore, brothers and sisters, be the all more the diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice this, you will never fall. 2 Peter 1:19. And we have the prophetic word more fully conformed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So we see in these eight occurrences, this is what we have when we listen only to Him. We're guaranteed. We're unshaken. His promise is reliable. We have confidence. We have a sure and steadfast anchor. His will for us is enforced. Our calling is confirmed. We will never fail or fall. And it's a word much more fully confirmed. When we can listen to this, why would we want to listen to any other chatter? Let us commit ourselves to hearing less talk and listening to Jesus Christ alone. Amen? Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Creating and liberating God, you called your people into covenant with you and sealed your trust with Moses on the mountain. You called your people back to that covenant through your prophets and spoke in a still small voice to Elijah on a mountain. Then in your Son Jesus on a mountain you stood between the law and the prophets and revealed the radiance of your gospel. On Calvary's hill, your Son redeemed us by the blood of your new covenant, and on the mountain in Galilee, He ascended to your right hand on high. And so we gladly thank you, celebrating your glory with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, dazzled by your face and singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Dazzling God, you set up your tent and made your dwelling among us. Abide with us now through the power of your Holy Spirit, that your people may become a temple of your presence, and that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Transfiguring God, it is good for us to be here. Through this holy sacrament, make us your sons and daughters and be close to all children who have no one to share your love and mercy with them. Make us your beloved and visit all who have no one to call them beloved. Give us grace to listen to your voice and bring to your heart any who have no one to listen to them. Surround us with your prophetic company and take us up into the whirlwind of your glory, until the day comes when the waters of the Jordan are parted and the heavens are opened and the chariots bring us home to you. Ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, from beginning to end, we know the triune God through Jesus Christ, the God that came, incarnated himself. From the very beginning, in all of his life, we hear his voice. And where his voice speaks, everything else dispels. His voice dispels chaos at creation. His voice creates your heart again, new and recreation. And hearing his voice today dispels all the darkness and chaos and fear and confusion. But it is ours through the Holy Spirit to choose what we focus upon. I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to remember him and to receive him, to focus upon him, and to hear only him. As he says, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Passover has been spread. Come to this table and receive his rest.
This is the blood of Christ shed for you.
your sweet word of promise that comes to us. When we listen for it alone, drowns out every other voice. Forgive us of those times when we have obsessed on every voice other than yours. And thank you that when we return to having our gaze upon you, you never upbraid us. You never put us on probation. You never remind us of our failings. You simply welcome us home. And you whisper again the truth of your promise. We pray that you would, through the power of your Holy Spirit, enable us to listen to Jesus and Him alone. Lead us, we pray, through that voice. And in that name we do offer this prayer. Amen. Let us stand and close with our final hymn. Amen. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Amen.